Good afternoon. Welcome to this edition of the Richard Urban Show. We bring you news and views from the education principal point of view. And we're very happy to continue this series of interviews with the primary candidates. Today we have Michael Mood, who's running for county commission here in Jefferson County in the Middleway District. So please introduce yourself.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Mood, and I'm running for the Middleway District County Commission seat for Jefferson County. I've lived in Jefferson County since 1995, raised a family here. As raising a family here, I found that when I worked down the road, I spent entirely too much time away from this county. And in doing that, I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do with my family and with the community services that I was involved in. Things from like coaching my son in baseball with Jefferson County Little League, just didn't have the time to do that. I'm also a volunteer firefighter in the county, and it was just really time consuming down the road and couldn't put in the time to do that. So we opened a business here in Jefferson County in 2003. In 15, we bought a failing business in Jefferson County and very quickly turned it around and had been able to hire between the two companies, six full-time employees, all residing here in Jefferson County or Berkeley County, where they're able to work close to home and be able to do the things with their family and the community they want to do. And that's part of what I want to try to do is I want to try to bring business growth to Jefferson County. So all these people who are building houses here have a place here in the county to work instead of commuting 2 and 3 hours each way sometimes down the road. That also helps bring a tax base to this county that we're really missing out on.
So talking about like local business, what do you think about like how could we promote local farming, tourism, things like that? And on a related issue, do you want to comment on the solar development and what's going on with that? Do you support that, not support it?
Some of the things I've had the opportunity to do is talk to some of the vineyards over in Dillon County and talk to them about why they're not coming here. And several of them said they have a great interest to come. Unfortunately, they've been outbid by the solar compounds and housing for the land, but looking to have a place to expand their farming industry into Jefferson County is magnificent. A lot of people here in Jefferson County leave this area to go to Loudoun County to a lot of these vineyards and are spending quite a bit of tax money over there doing that. So they absolutely want to come. I think it's just an avenue that we need to pursue a little bit. And as we're talking about solar compounds, during this journey, I've talked to a lot of farmers and learned what the farmers are struggling with. And that struggle is they've taught their kids to do things other than farm. And now they're in a unique position where they're starting to head towards retirement. And the farming is now struggling. Things have gotten much more expensive to operate, and they are needing some way to be able to retire. And in doing that, unfortunately, you're seeing a lot of housing being developed on that land, and these solar compounds being developed on that land. So if we want to stop the solar compounds, we really have got to attract other things here, like the vineyards, equestrian centers, and things like that, that will give the farmers something to be able to survive off their land.
So are you saying that for farmers these days that it's not economically feasible anymore? Like, for instance, I know the Blake Solar Farm, they were farming that until, I guess, a couple years ago and growing corn. So do you know, I guess it was profitable, but maybe not as, or do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, it may have been profitable to a certain level, but now the farmers are getting older and needing to retire.
Okay.
And they don't have the next generation stepping in to continue farming that land. That's where the problem really comes in, is the farmers just not physically able to anymore. The average farmer in this county is pushing retirement age.
Right.
And if we're not attracting younger farmers in here, and sometimes maybe we have to change how we farm. And some of that change is a lot of what I've been talking about is in vineyards. The vineyards attracts a different generation of farmer, a different type of farmer, and a different type of clientele that wants to come to that farmland and have tasting rooms and things like that on that farmland. The other things that can be done with some of these farmlands is some of the barns that are out here can be turned into like wedding venues. There's a beautiful one out here. I think it's Wood Hill or Wood End out on the Sherry Road in Summit Point area. Beautiful farm area and beautiful barn for wedding venue.
So kind of a somewhat related topic, like recently we see efforts by our prosecutor Matt Harvey to remove Commissioners Krause and Jackson. What's your opinion on that? Should he have proceeded with that prosecution? Is something else going on? Do you have an opinion on it?
Personally, I think it's a huge overreach. The problem started out when we lost Commissioner App and we moved forward to have to replace her. And unfortunately, the first problem we had was there's no working together in there. It was, a 50-50 thing. And yeah, it just could not work together. One side seemed to want to work together, the other side wanted to have absolute zero discussion about it. And unfortunately, that put Commissioner Krause and Commissioner Jackson in a spot that they just did not feel that they could move forward with. And I was in the meeting when they had the initial interviews. And Commissioner Krause asked, "Well, where do we go from here?" And unfortunately, Commissioner Starkport looked at her and said, "Well, nowhere unless you're going to change your vote." Well, you didn't even have any discussion beyond your vote. And I think that is horrible. These commissioners should have had a discussion. It doesn't mean they're necessarily going to change their mind, but they should have at least had some discussion out here and seen if they could move forward from there. Do I think they were right? I don't know. Would I have done it that way? I don't think I would have. But that was the only way they felt that they could be heard. And that was the action they took.
Well, I talked to Prosecutor Harvey. I mean, and asked him, well, why are you pursuing? I mean, he didn't specifically comment on it, but I said, don't you have discretion in what you're prosecuting, not right? So he didn't deny that. So why are you pursuing this? I agree with you,
Yeah, I think it was a huge overreach. And when you sit and look at the two sitting commissioners that got, I believe it was 43 counts against each one of them at $1,000bond apiece. And you see that amount of bond that was put on sitting commissioners that are no flight risk. And then when you look at things that happen in other cases, and it is nowhere near that. I think that was a horrible overreach.
I agree. Thanks for sharing that. On another topic, like about elections in Jefferson County, we're all now using these machines versus like paper ballots and tabulators. I guess the tabulators have been around for a while. Anyway, what I'm getting at is, are you satisfied like with our election system in Jefferson County? Could we do anything to improve confidence or integrity of the election system? Should we use like paper ballots? Is there something else or any opinion on that?
I think the ballot system we're working is perfect. I do believe that you should have your ID to go in to vote to show who you are. You need it for so many other things. I don't see why you wouldn't need it to go in and vote. And I think that you should have to renew your voter registration from time to time to assure that you're actually still living in this county. You've got some people that are potentially going out here and voting that may not reside in this county anymore. And I think that if we were to do a periodic renewal of that, even just a simple mail renewal of it, if you have signed that you're still residing here and you vote here and you're not here, at that point, maybe that's something that the prosecutor could pursue.
Yeah, I've been looking into it some, and also interviewed some candidates for sec or will be for Secretary of State. One issue I think maybe is not, this is more state, but of course it affects our county, obviously, is that is West Virginia checking to see if those registering to vote are citizens? And why are we using the registration at the DMV? Who came up with that idea? Shouldn't people register themselves to vote?
I mean, there's differing process on that. So if they're coming into the DMV, it isn't a place that at least they are providing some identity information to be able to register. I don't have a real problem with that. I mean, I do think you should have to at least prove you reside in this county and that you're a citizen of this country, to be able to register to vote.
I don't think you have to prove you're a citizen, but I'll be asking like about that in my, Secretary of State interview. Yeah, I don't think they check. So, but
No,
I'll
they don't.
they should. So that's a problem now with the Biden administration sending out and trying to get people registered who are not qualified to vote. So that's something we should keep an eye on. Yeah, so in our county, on another topic, about 77% of our taxes are going toward the public schools with very little transparency there. I was talking to the auditor candidate about that one. So my question is about property taxation is like with the school levy particularly, and again, it is a state issue, but it's a big issue for county people because we have to pay it. Little transparency toward where the money goes, and apparently they, unless they fix that, I need to find out. But you correct, tell me if you know, they can keep asking for the levy again and again if it doesn't pass. Anyway, do you have any comment on property taxation? Because for seniors like me, like I mean, things like personal property tax. I mean, I have an old car. I might pay $40 a year or something. That's not a lot. But, like I own two properties and I'm paying thousands, literally, of dollars a year on property tax, regardless of my income. It's a big burden, and 70% is going to the school. Anyway, I'm rambling a bit, but do you have any comment on any of that?
Well, yeah, the big problem is we keep building houses, and houses are a huge load on our tax base. Like you said, about 77% goes towards education. The remainder goes towards the operation of our county, our police, our fire, our EMS. They're all out here struggling to be able to operate. They're sitting here running on budgets that are, in some cases, decades behind. And we're focused on bringing in housing that is just making that problem worse. We need to focus on business growth. And I don't want to see us explode Jefferson County to look like some of the areas of Berkeley or some of the areas of Loudoun. We've got proper zoning. We can attract businesses here. And attracting businesses here, that builds the tax base. Businesses are paying a lot more in tax with a lot less load on the services. Where residential is the polar opposite of that. We're paying less in taxes, and our load on the system is huge. So we've got to attract people here. And some of the ways we can attract people here, Eddie from the Development Authority, one of the things that she had proposed several months ago was a plan that goes out here and it does some tracking. Unfortunately, we're all tracked what we do, where we go by our phones. One of the things that she had talked about was an app that would allow us to kind of monitor where people had gone, where they go to work, what kind of businesses are in that area. If we know that information, that gives us a target of what we can go try to attract to this county. And I think that's something that we have got to work on because when the vast majority of our residents coming here, buying houses here because they're cheap compared to the DC metro area, yet still going down there to work, that's a problem. And we have got to address that. And the only way to address that is business growth. And in doing that business growth, we cannot go out here and do massive pilot programs. And I'm not opposed to some sort of an incentive to try to come in here, but I think that incentive needs to be short. Somewhere in the 3 to 5 year range. And it needs to be something that's available to local small business, not just what we're trying to attract here.
About the solar farm, I know we discussed it, but I'm not. Anyway, refresh me if we did already talk about this, but. So are you like opposed or in favor of the way it's currently rolling out? I know we talked about the need for smaller businesses, other types of revenue for farmers, but I'm not sure you clarified exactly where you stand on like the way it's rolling out now with the Blake and three other large solar projects. Do you support those or are you think that was a bad idea?
I think it's a horrible idea. While I do understand the farmer needs some way to survive off of his land, if you're going to have a massive change of use of property, which is what that is, I think that needs to be much better regulated. I think that needs to be have much more information go out to the community about it. While yes, I know they do some public hearing, but unfortunately, public hearing very regularly happens to be during the day, during the week. When the residents that live here are down the road working, they're not here able to participate in those meetings, and they're not very well publicized.
Right.
And then when you have these meetings and special session after special session and these meetings during work days, all of that is designed to make people miss that and not have their voice heard. When you're going to go out here and make a major change like that, you've got to go out here and really make sure the public is aware of what's going on. And the public has the input. And as a commissioner, you have got to listen to what these people are saying. Yeah, these solar farms that are going in here, right up against somebody's property, you are killing their neighbor's property values to benefit the farmer. That's not good. Are the solar farms going to go away? No, we're going to have solar compounds here. There are several that are permitted, and there's not anything that we can do to stop that. But what we can do is work on regulation to increase the setbacks to be able to have those 100 feet from somebody else's property. That's horrible. I think we need to be looking 500 feet or greater from a property line if we're going to have that. I think that we need to have more mature trees planted around the property before the property goes into that sort of construction. I think they should also be looking at site plans and where the water is going to run off to. The Blake one, it's running into Everett's Run. And you go down, look at the Shenandoah River during a rainstorm, the Charlestown side of it's a muddy mess, and the mountain side of it is almost crystal clear from the runoff.
Right, I've seen that. I know, I'm aware of that. Actually, I've written about that on our website. Yeah. So would you work to repeal the so-called solar amendment or whatever, or like substantially change or repeal it?
I would, yes.
As far as...
But as we're talking about repealing it, we do also have got to, if we're going to try to repeal that, and that is going to adversely affect these farmers, we do have to adamantly be working towards something else that can help them survive.
Yeah, it seems like the farms that were involved, it seems like the cables, I mean, I don't know a lot about them. I know their name, you know. They were owning the farm and sold that land to the company. I mean, it's not like small farmers. That seemed like a pretty big operation. Or am I wrong?
Correct. It was that was a huge farm out there. And cables are probably one of the biggest farming families in the county. And very actively still farming. And that's fantastic that they're actively still farming. But like I say, you're getting some of these farmers that are heading towards retirement, and they have got to have something to survive off of. And unfortunately, this is what's been coming and what has looked very good to them, dollars and cents wise. So we've got to find and encourage something else in here to look just as good.
Okay. On another topic, so up here on the mountain, and you were working at the Blue. Actually, did you used to live up on the mountain?
I did.
Okay.
So when I first moved to West Virginia, I moved to a place called Westridge Hills,
I
which
know it.
is up off Chestnut Hill Road.
Yes, I know.
And my family actually went to that neighborhood back in the early 1970s. I spent quite a bit of time as a kid coming up there and enjoying the mountain. I was there from 95 to 06
So did you
is when
have
we
like
lived
a
up there.
second home there, or you lived there?
That's where we lived.
Oh, cool. All right. So getting to the question. So on the mountain, the Blue Ridge Mountain Fire Department no longer has an ambulance at either station. And I understand maybe yours doesn't either. Or you tell me, is that the right way to allocate our ambulance or our EMS resources, or would you do something different?
I would encourage something very different. What has happened in this county is horrible, public safety-wise. While I understand the volunteer side of the fire service, because so many of our residents are going down the road to work, it's dying. You're seeing more and more paid staffing on calls. The county had a pretty good deal where the volunteers were paying for all the apparatus and their license and all of that. All the county had to do was pay for staffing. But it is something that was dying off, and we were certainly going to head towards more of a career staff system. We tried to work with the county offering solutions. The county wanted it what they have now. We wanted it what we had. We had offered up some plans to try to kind of come in between. And as we're sitting here trying to discuss it, unfortunately, Commissioner Starr just looked at it and said, "Well, we're just going to own the ambulances." Well, how do you negotiate with that? And they had their plan of where they were going to go. And unfortunately, that plan has put people on the mountain at a greater risk, and it's put people in Middleway at a greater risk. We have had two occasions in the past 3 months where, if we had not at Middleway been running the rapid response unit, which is our volunteers with our staffing going out to assist. And if we have a cleared provider, or if it is a cardiac arrest, we're able to go in ahead of the county ambulance coming in. We have two residents out here that are alive today because of that. If they'd had to wait for that county ambulance to come, there'd be no way they'd be able to survive. So I think that what they've done is wrong. I think they're heading the right direction. They just went too fast at it. And I think we should have staffing here at Middleway. And I think we need to have staffing on the mountain. I mean, now, unfortunately, where the best place for staffing in the mountain is the Mission Road substation, because that's their busiest side of the mountain. And having it at their main station, while it is a statistical tie from Citizens Fire Company and Blue Ridge's main station to the corner of Mission Road, either of that is just too far. You need to have an ambulance up there back at that substation. And but unfortunately, a substation is not suitable for 24-hour housing. If they would locate something closer to that end to put an ambulance there, that would make absolute perfect sense.
So were you saying that the distance from the Keys Gap Firehouse to, say, the Mission Road and Charlestown Road is about the same response as from the Charlestown station to there or
That's
something?
correct. I did a rough measurement on it from each station. It's about 2/10 of a mile further from Citizens Fire Company to that corner, and about 3 seconds faster from Citizens Fire Company to that corner than it is from Blue Ridge at their main station. So it's a statistical tie to that corner. But still, that is about 6 minutes to 7 minutes away to that corner.
Right.
So what they really need is they need a station that is closer to that corner that can get staffing to somebody in the event of a medical emergency faster.
It's like talk about how you differ from your opponent. Like, how would you differentiate yourself from your primary opponent?
I've got some plans. I've got some ideas I'm working on. Matt is a nice guy. Matt's a friend of mine. He's born and bred here. He hasn't really talked a whole lot about plans, though. And that's kind of more what I've been different about. I've been looking at solutions. I've been out here listening to people, listening to what they have to say, what's important to them, and how we can fix some of these problems. So that, I think, is the biggest difference that I've got is I've been working towards solutions. I've got some ideas and things to work on. And that's the direction that I want to go. And as I listen to people, yeah, my ears are open. Yeah, when we came out, when we first started talking about solar compounds, I honestly was kind of in favor of it, listening to farmers. But as I listened and opened my eyes and opened my ears, yeah, I found it not quite such a good thing. And that goes all the way around. So as you're talking about businesses, what businesses belong in certain places in the county, what businesses are good for us here, what's not good for us here. So my ears are open to all sides, and I will listen and see what's actually best for the community as a whole, and that's where my decision will go. I have no special interest in anything in this county. I'm not backed by developers. I'm not backed by any certain businesses. I'm a business owner in this county from two different businesses, and I want to see this county grow in a positive manner that is going to be able to keep our residents here working and build the tax base that we need to be able to provide proper public safety and proper education for the people of this county.
So as we're coming toward the conclusion, anything we didn't touch on that's close to your heart or your platform that you want to discuss, and just to kind of summarize or, you know, bring things to conclusion?
My biggest, as I stated before, it's business growth. We have got to build a tax base here. We cannot keep coming after our residents for tax after tax after tax, or fee after fee after fee, or levy after levy. We've got to find a new pool of money, and that pool is business growth. Without proper business growth, we are not going to be able to substantiate what we have here.
I really thank you for your time. I'll put this out on the Richard Urban Show, also on visionroot.org. So I very much thank you for coming on today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate your time.